Jeremiah chapter 23. You thought I was going to Isaiah. It's been a long, hectic week. So I got this prepared Tuesday before the festivities started. Jeremiah chapter 23. And in this passage, verses 1 through 8 of the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, we have four divisions in our text this morning. Verses 1 and 2, we see false pastors and false preachers. Verses 3 and 4, then we come across true pastors and true preachers. Verses 5 and 6, the Messiah, which is the message of the true pastors. And verses 7 and 8, we have a comparison and see the ultimate and true deliverance of God's elect. We have a comparison made between two types of deliverances, and one is to be preferred above the other. Let's start here. I'm going to read all eight verses, and then we'll begin with the first division, verse 1 and 2. Jeremiah, the prophet of God, says, "Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, and I will rise unto David a righteous branch. And the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and judge justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, this righteous branch who shall save his people, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." This first section, verses 1 and 2, we see false pastors, false preachers, and they are also termed in John chapter 10, where Scott read, they're called hirelings. He said, "The hirelings flee because they're hirelings, and they don't care for the sheep. A wolf comes, and they leave. They're hirelings. They're not the under-shepherds. They're not true pastors. They're not true preachers. They're false pastors, false preachers." And we have in verse 1 and 2, woe pronounced unto them, "Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, against pastors which feed my people. They've scattered the flock, driven them away, and not visited them. God Himself says, I will visit you upon you the evil of your doings." Now, this is nothing new. There has been false pastors, false preachers since time began. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at a couple passages and see the terrible indictments against them, and we have some common characteristics of among these who are termed false preachers and false pastors. Matthew 7, verses 15 and 16, he says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits." You shall know them by their fruits. Turn to 2 Peter, who perhaps has about the most to say against such who mislead people through the preaching of the Word. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbers not." Now, these false preachers, false pastors, this serious charge against them, they all have several things in common, or at least a few things in common. They're in the common denominator in the first two verses seems to be destroy and scatter the sheep, and or starve and drive them away. Woe to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep. Woe against the pastors that feed my people, scatter my flock, and driven them away. That seems to be the common denominator. It doesn't matter what denomination, what doesn't matter what title they have, it doesn't matter how many degrees they have, whether they have PhD behind their name or not. The prophet of God, under inspiration of God, has a serious charge against them. And the common denominator is they destroy and scatter the sheep, they starve them, and they drive them away. Now, Jeremiah perhaps has more to say about these false preachers and false pastors than any other Old Testament prophet. He has a couple charges against these. One, two, three, four. He's about at least five in this book of Jeremiah. Turn to chapter 6 and look with me at verse 13. Jeremiah 6 and verse 13. "For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one deals falsely." Now, it might appear to be sweet and genuine and sincere and honest, but again, we're comparing what God says about these and what the Scripture says about these, and He alone is the only one that can look into the heart. But we see one charge that the prophet has is that they are full of greed and covetousness. Some of these churches, they can't keep preachers. They're bouncing back and forth. Now, you would think if a man truly loved those people, the money wouldn't matter. They would stay. But, you know, it's almost like a business to some people. They've got to have more money. They've got to make more money. They do job interviews. They fill their resumes. They do all these things. Verse 14 of the same chapter. "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there's no peace." And this can be done doctrinally. This can be done emotionally, physically. They give people false hope and tell them about a false peace, which would be trusting in anything or anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I could spend way too much time going over specifics, but I'm just going to use what Jeremiah says, read it, and make a few comments, because that's not what we want to spend our time on today. But suffice it to say that there is false prophets. There always has been. There always will be. Some are easily seen. Some are not so easily seen. Some are the counterfeit. Guy and I were talking about this on the way over last night. Sometimes that counterfeit is just It's just right there. So you talk about the counterfeit, that's all you're going to hear. But when the truth is preached, the truth is preached, the counterfeit is seen. But it's seen not by comparing false with false, but knowing the truth. Taking that straight stick. How do you know that this podium up here is level? Well, there's a device that you take and you put a level on it. And the Word of God is a leveler. It's a straight shooter. It tells the things as they are. And this prophet is saying the same thing. He's telling what he's seen in his day and warning the church. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 14. Verses 13 and 14. Jeremiah 14, verses 13 and 14. Then said I, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them. They're preaching. They're going around saying these things. You shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Now, what did Bruce tell us last Sunday and the Sunday before last? Preachers are out. They don't want to talk about hell. They don't want to talk about God's wrath. They don't want to talk about the sword of God's justice. Everything's okay. Everything's okay with you and your children and mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. Everything's okay. Don't worry about it. The prophets say unto these people, you'll not see the sword. Don't worry about it. God's smiling at everybody. Everything's fine. Verse 14, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision, a divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Lies. They talk about themselves, and they have their own standards, not God's standards. That's pretty clear. Jeremiah chapter 23, where we're at this morning. Look at verses 16 and 17. Thus saith the Lord unto of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Does that sound like what's going on today? Does that sound like what's going on in this country? Tradition. The doctrine of men's tradition instead of this book. I asked a preacher one time, as far as how you get ready for message. Well, the denomination sends me messages from their denomination book. And it's dated. And it's got the dates. And you just go Sunday, January, Sunday, the next day. And that's what we... So what about the Bible? Well, there's some references of it in there. Okay. The words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, they make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. This book. Add things. Or take things away. Jeremiah 23, the same chapter, verses 25 to 32. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophets that have a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness, yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. I'm so thankful that God is over all things. It's so easy to be entangled and ensnared in the lies of the false prophets and false preachers. I have this question. I'm going to read a passage out of John or James. You stay there, out of James. I have this question to you and to myself. James tells those who he's speaking to, he says, "My brethren, be not many masters, teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater judgment." People come up and say, "Well, I've been dreaming about," I had one man say, "I've dreamed about preaching. What do you think?" I said, "Well, I don't do it. Don't do it. God better be in it, or it's going to be a nightmare." James tells those who he's speaking to the church, he says, "Brethren, don't be many masters or teachers, knowing that we're going to receive the greater the word is condemnation," but it's, in the Greek, it's judgment. The question I have is this: which is a more abomination? Which abomination is greater, the harlot or the false prophet that's standing behind a pulpit and telling lies on God? Which will receive the greater condemnation, the drunk or the Sunday school teacher who spews false doctrine? We have the tendency to categorize sin. God does not. He holds those who preach this book or try to preach this book lying or from their own tradition or for their own doctrine or whatever, who are not sent of God, in higher condemnation. Higher condemnation. Verses 3 and 4. We have a contrast. True under-shepherds are true pastors. Verses 3 and 4. He says, God says, "I will gather." There's the great thing right there. Because we've got, Sky and I were talking our way over, this thing of the preaching the gospel, believing the gospel, it is so far above me. It is so far, I stand up here and proclaim God's gospel, His message, but it's hands off. It's so much, you know, it's so much bigger than me or any other man. It's so much greater than us. It's such a privilege to be able to stand up here and speak. But the only reason why anybody will believe anything that's ever spoken in truth is because God says, "I will gather the remnant of my flock, His elect, out of all countries, whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase." And God says, "I will set up shepherds," that is, true pastors, preachers, under shepherds, "over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall be lacking, saith the Lord." So you got the false preachers who are destroying the flock, scattering the flock, fleecing them, and starving them, and then you got true preachers who are nobodies, who are nothing, who are less than the least, what Paul said, stand up and feed. Counsel, if somebody needs help, we're here for that. But the main responsibility is not visitation, it's not this, it's not that, it's feeding the flock. He says, verse 4, "they shall feed them." What did Christ say to Peter? Peter was going to go fishing. He said, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" Probably referring to the nets and the hooks and his trade. "Yes, Lord, you know I love you more." What did he say? "Feed my flock. Feed my sheep. Feed them. Feed them." God will, and therefore He does, have an elect people. And we are not the only ones left to do His bidding, because He's going to call preachers and bring His flock to these true preachers will be used of God, that's God's means, to bring the elect unto Himself. And redeemed sinners are elected of God, yes, that's true. Called of God, yes. They will hear the gospel and they will repent and believe Christ and Him crucified, because He brings under shepherds to feed the sheep. They feed them